most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Spiritually Speaking Live with Stacy and Lynn on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spiritually Speaking, where you can illuminate the wealth of your spirit. Prepare yourself to experience the elevation of your mind, the expansion of your heart, and the awakening of your soul. Hosted by two exceptionally gifted ladies, Lynn and Stacy, who use their intuitive abilities, channeled knowledge, and in-depth wisdom in phenomenal ways. So stay tuned as you become part of an amazing spiritual experience.
Hello and welcome to Spiritually Speaking Live. I'm Stacy Marsh, an intuitive clairvoyant medium and Sedona Method coach.
And I'm Lynn Harrod DeVerges, a clairvoyant medium as well as healer, teacher, and communicator with angels about all forms of miracles. And this is where you are able to speak your truth, and that's what we're going to do here tonight. Isn't that right, Stacy?
Yes, we are. We have some truth we want to drop on some people tonight, Lynn.
Yeah, I think we have a lot of truth we're going to drop on them tonight, especially with the powerful guests that we have. And we're going to be talking a little bit, I think, about not only this particular realm, but the realm that takes us into other dimensions, places where energy is at work, even when we're not consciously aware of it.
Oh, yeah. So, thinking about all of that, and tonight I just want to say, before we really get into all of that, to say happy holidays to everybody. As I drove over here, I saw all of the hustle and bustle, and I'm like, whew, I'm so glad I'm not a part of that.
You're glad you're not part of the whole Christmas thing, huh?
Yeah, I'm not into it, and I think it's nice and all, but I mean, like, just being out there like that, it's just crowded. Mm-hmm. You know,
it does start to get a little commercially feeling, and like you say, it does become very congested, and I think particularly in a large city like LA. I heard a phrase today, mm-hmm. which is called PHS, Perfect Holiday Syndrome, and that's when everyone is busy trying to create the perfect holiday, or because they don't want to get caught up in the perfect holiday syndrome, they go far to the other side and go, well, I'm just, you know, I will go nowhere, do nothing, see nothing, hear nothing.
Okay, so I'm way far out there, like, no.
You're no, way far out on the side of, okay, side. Not doing anything, and I'm way far on the other side going, oh, boy, it's Christmas, Santa.
Right, right.
So I guess we have a little bit of the dichotomy going on at this time. But either way, however we choose to celebrate, and however all of you out there choose to celebrate, we do hope you have a wonderful holiday season. Hanukkah is over. But it doesn't mean that the spirit of Hanukkah does not continue on into the spirit of Christmas, into the new year, and then welcoming all that Kwanzaa brings at the new year, right?
Right, absolutely. And with so many different things going on the planet and all of the, you know, all of that. And in, also, although I don't really get all into it and everything, but Mercury retrograde happens December 26th until January 15th, which, you know, basically Mercury retrograde has everything to do with inner reflection. And I think it's in the house of Capricorn. I think that's what they said, you know, so it's all
oh, okay.
the inner reflection of, you know, the direction that you're choosing to go in your life, getting really clear. Because I think from what I was reading that, Capricorn has a lot to do with, you know, like they get them up and go and producing and all of that kind of stuff. So it's very interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that is. Well, I know one thing. I'm looking forward to 2010, not the 2009. hasn't been a great time. And maybe the Mercury retrograde, although it does deal with communication, but yet, right. you know, setting things up in a new way. Hopefully that's what 2010 will be as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Because 2010 is, well, 2009, you think about a decade being from 0 to 9, 9 being the number of completion,
right.
also a number of clearing or releasing whatever it is that's not real in your life that is ready to let go of.
That's
and
right.
I can tell you from personal experience, there's been a whole lot let go of in my life
this
during
year, right?
2009.
Ooh-wee, I feel you in that one. I second that motion, boy, you know. Getting a lot of learning lessons here, and they're not terrible. They're good lessons. And
absolutely.
You know, and just always taking every opportunity to look at what is it that there is to heal and to resolve, basically. So
mm-hmm.
with that
mm-hmm.
being said, I want to talk about the powerful spiritual teacher that we have for you guys tonight. She
yes.
is a consciousness expert and innovative thinker. CJ Martis has spent the past 2 decades touching the lives of thousands around the world. And as one of the world's leading field theorist and the founder of the Akashic Field Therapy, she unites penetrating scientific insight and ancient knowledge to help individuals resolve traumatic experiences at their full mental, spiritual, and physical levels. Hi, CJ.
Hi, ladies. Happy holidays.
Hi, how are you?
Happy holidays.
Thank you. Happy holiday.
I'm not so much in the business of doing too much. I played all day, so happy to be with you this evening.
That's good.
Well, that's good. Excellent. That's excellent. Well, we are just so glad to have you on the show with us this evening. It's just always such a joy and a pleasure for us to be able to connect with you and just really receive the wonderful wisdom and information that you have to share. And so I wanted to start off by asking you a little bit about exactly what the Akashic, first of all, if you can explain what the Akashic records are and how that correlates to the Akashic field.
Well, the Akashic records is actually, another term for that is the Book of Life, is a term that's actually been used throughout the various centuries of human beings on this planet by all kinds of indigenous cultures. It's sort of a prevailing collective theme based on the belief that every single experience that a person has is recorded into a type of, in this case, we would use, the symbol of a record or book. And there are a lot of notable, healers like Edgar Cayce, who, regularly accessed this huge database or resource of information.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you look across just all of our histories, regardless of where you come from, there's some mention all the way from Christianity way out, to Buddhism even. And so half the people say Kashic, others say Akashic, so it's like a tomato-tomato kind of thing,
cool.
By the way.
Nice to know.
So, right. Where the term Akashic Field really sort of emerged was in 2004 from a quantum physicist who's also a philosopher named Mervyn Laszlo. He published a book called Science in the Akashic Field, where what he did is he took all of the new science, because we kind of see out there that this science, as they realize that they don't have, everything they're after is not even really very measurable, looking at quantum physics and some of those much newer realizations in the scientific community. Laszlo kind of took a step further, going, okay, well, we understand that there's all of this energy that permeates everything that we're doing. And he looked at those indigenous stories, and he said, I really think that what we've discovered here is a field of information at a quantum level that interconnects all living beings, all people, that continues to act as a recorder for those quantum potentials in our lives, the things that have occurred, the things that are happening now, as well as the things that could be possibilities for us in the future. So those terms are really talking about the same thing, but I think it's just a difference in the viewpoint of which you're kind of looking at, you know, looking at that database of information.
Okay. And so when you are doing healing work with people, I know that you do it in a way of being able to look at some of those quantum experiences and aspects as a way for a person to help heal. And so can you give us an example of how that works?
Sure. And I guess the first thing I'd like to say about that is that, you know, we all have experiences that throughout our course of our human experience, whether it's just lifetime or continuum of lifetimes, you know, we have those unpleasant things that happen to us or that those traumatic things and those that we view as being, you know, negative experiences. And so we carry those through our entire life. You know, everything that's happened to us obviously makes us who we are. But if those experiences are not balanced, resolved, or understood, what happens at this Akashic field level is that the part of our consciousness that is accessing that database very fluidly and much faster than probably any computer we have on the planet today. And I mean, that, I'm a big techie, so if I'm saying that, you know, it's just beyond imagination. But our subconscious mind is underneath the surface of the conscious, you know, what we're trying to do, what we see is going on or perceive is going on in our daily life experiences. And so whether you access, you know, whether you access that and in the form of a reading, because we have a lot of wonderful people out there who access the Akashic records when they're doing readings for people to help them, you know, it's all coming from the same basic source of information. And throughout the research that I've done, I wanted to really discover how can we go in and really get direct into the point of what's getting in the way of someone's experiences or new, you know, experiences rather than just sort of looping back and forth doing the same thing over and over again. I know that, you know, and I'm about 40 years old, so I'm telling on myself a little bit. I feel like I'm just beginning my life, but I am 40.
Of course.
And, you know, but 20 years ago, I was like, oh, my God, how? Why am I in this experience again? You know, it's like I consciously would go, oh, you know, I'm not going to do that again. Okay, no, I got it. I'm going to just go, okay, now I'm going down the path, and pretty soon I'm down the path, and something happens, and I go, I did it again. And I know that anybody listening, you know, it's like we've all been there. It's like my conscious mind wants to go the one direction, and all of a sudden, I'm back in familiar land, you know, and it's a very can be a very frustrating process for people in their life, you know, trying to be more happy and be more joyous to resolve those things you guys were talking about in your intro. You know, 2000 year, definitely a huge resolution year for myself. So I am looking also forward to 2010.
Right.
Yeah.
But what, you know, what the listeners may not realize, though, is that these things that are getting in the way are not because they're flawed. They don't have the, you know, they don't have the right, you know, mix of skills, you know, to get through life and do new things instead of regurgitating the past. It really has to do with, I think, consciously getting the right information and understanding that this is just, you know, that it is, you know, it is all just a part of the process. But the subconscious mind kind of works against us because it's writing and reading simultaneously all the time. And so what I determined with traumatic experiences is that it creates these quantum-based loops, basically, that the subconscious gets real busy listening to or looking at.
Kind of like a record that goes over and over again.
Yeah, or you know, looking at technology, because I use a lot of those metaphors, you know, We don't see Windows or Mac OS running on a Mac, but it's constantly running.
Right, okay.
And so it's in the background. And so in all of the people that I've been able to work with this new therapy, sometimes it's just a matter of identifying specifically what is going on so that person can understand it. Then they can make more conscious choices. They can resolve those loops or entanglements that come out of the Akashic field. and can find some resolution for those previous experiences. And for instance, I had a lady come to me.
Mm-hmm.
If you want an example. Lady came to me and she said, no matter what I do, I'm in my heart. I own a yoga studio. I'm the first one. I live in Kansas City right now. I am moving, but in the future, but I live in Kansas City right now. She has the oldest yoga studio in town. Like, and I'm in the mm-hmm. Midwest, so it's like back when yoga wasn't even fashionable. You
right,
know?
Right.
Right.
She comes to me, she goes, no matter what I do, I can't manifest prosperity. I'm in my heart. I'm doing what I love. I'm enjoying it. What on earth is going on? Because no matter what, I'm always struggling with financials. You know, and she goes, I know I'm doing the right things. I've gotten all this advice and, you know, from business people and all these things, you know, to help her be successful. When we were going into the Akashic, which we can talk specifically about the process of Akashic Field Therapy because it's kind of unique, but I went in and said, hey, let me go into the Akashic Record or the Akashic Field with this method, and let's look at what are those specific traumatic things that may have happened in the past that are causing this friction between your conscious will and what the subconscious is trying to do to protect you from being harmed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of her traumatic experiences had to do with poverty.
Okay.
Starving to death.
Mm.
And all showed a profile of huge beliefs and always having a lack of prosperity. Emotionally, physically, all of these things.
So this,
and
these,
so
what she was experiencing.
Created,
oh no, what? I'm sorry. Let me ask you something, CJ. So what she was experiencing, is this all this lifetime, the starvation and all of that? I just want to be clear.
No.
Oh, okay, got it.
In fact, in the method, you know, we often are looking at past life
okay.
kind of transfers that into it because for the subconscious reading the data out of the field, there's no timeline.
That's right.
You have to understand that there's no linear time.
Right.
So something that happened 2,000 years ago to you, say you were in India and you starved to death or it was a very difficult life for you.
Mm-hmm.
Subconscious looks at that and says, I better be careful because I need to hold on to this money very tightly or I need to hold on to what I have because it's not going to be there. And it's just like it happened yesterday.
That
okay.
makes sense.
No,
all right.
There is no, the linear time that we experience on a daily basis because we're marking time and so forth is not the way the subconscious perceives your information or collective experiences within the Akashic field.
That makes
There's
a lot of sense, right. Yeah.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense. So a person who, like you used this example with this woman who was struggling financially, what about a person who has a consciousness about everything in life being hard and struggles just with every aspect of life, whether it's their finances, relationships, health, you know. So I guess, I don't know if I have a real question there so much as I'm just really trying to understand on a deeper level that to struggle in every area of life if someone is really having a very difficult time, particularly, let's say, during this past year, because we all talked about 2009 being a significant year of growth, of endings, and so forth to move into a new stage. If you're experiencing struggle in all those different areas of your life, and it's particularly heightened at a certain point or time in your life, would that also be contributed to past experiences that are part of your past life as well as your life this time?
Actually, I think that's a wonderful question. And before I kind of answer that piece about suffering, because that's kind of a,
mm-hmm.
I'm glad you asked that question because there's some real roots within the Akashic Field collectively that we kind of have to contend with.
Mm-hmm.
But in Akashic Field therapy, rather than being like a reader or an intuitive person, because that's where all intuitive information about a person's coming from, is the same source. Rather than, even though I can go in and do those types of readings where I can see the past life or I can see it like it very visually. And I feel very blessed to be a visual person because I know a lot of people don't inherently have, you know, have that visual quality. But But what I did with this method, when I read Lazo's book, and I was very deeply inspired because my background is in vibrational medicine, so I'd always had various systems and charts and things that I did dowsing or muscle testing to answer, you know, questions about the physical body. I transposed that training that I had into what if we could interpret this data, especially, you know, for even a person to use this method, because we now have it as a self-care tool at level one. How do we interpret this information in a way that makes sense, that's meaningful for a person, but they don't have to go and, like, experience all past five. They don't have to necessarily look at it this way. And so right. What we've found over the years that we've been, myself and other students, have been fine-tuning this process is that when we looked at this, we developed charts. And what I mean by that is not so much, you know, you were talking earlier about Mercury going retrograde. charts meaning just tables, rows, columns of data, of types of patterns. There are so many different types of patterns that we have found within the Akashic field in our research. So we're always revising this system. And so we have charts like core trauma, certainly, core fears, core beliefs, emotional blocks, what we call polarity traps, routines, which are kind of an emotional loop, 17 different charts in the method. And what you were talking about with, you know, like, let's say we have somebody that life just simply is inherently difficult. No matter what they do, they feel like they're walking uphill, or, you know, even if that's not permeating our entire life experiences, there are times that we feel like we're in the quicksand rather than going on the beach. Right. And what I found in all of my research, and there's a type of inherent pattern to the Akashic field that we see over and over again that's pretty common to all people, and this information will also be coming out in my new book that should be out next year, is this belief in suffering. We have this emotional block because at a collective level, at an individual level, we have the expectation that anything in life that is attained must be done by suffering.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so we have this collective consciousness on the planet over these many years and thousands of years of humans being on it. You know, yeah, the reality is that sometimes life is hard and so forth. But what often happens is that these types of patterns that have to do with suffering make our subconscious kind of buy into that framework to begin with. And we learn it culturally. We learn it in our families. We learn, you know, I come from a German family, so, you know, we all work really hard, you know. I had to learn to let go of a little of my own perfectionism, you know, over the years. But, you know, we work really hard, so, you know, you can equate that needing to work so hard, you know, with any type of suffering. So anybody out there listening, is likely that you have the pattern in your Akashic field that you do identify at some level with that I call belief in suffering. And okay. So, you know, over these years, we've determined that there are some major roots of what creates that suffering for all people. And we have lots in common with everybody else, much more than we realize at the Akashic
right.
level.
So
wow.
Okay. I'm sorry. I thought you had
Go
some
ahead,
more to
Stacey.
Say. No, I'm just, this is really interesting to me. So in terms of the suffering, because I've been getting really involved in a lot of, even more so, more in depth into the ancestral healing. And a lot of that, you know, many different peoples have suffered across this planet. So that might be just a theme that's just in humans, period, you know, but there are some of us that, you know, like you said, have more, I shouldn't say more, but different forms of suffering, you know, where people have been enslaved and also, you know, gone through their different abuses and atrocities. And so, say, some of the people from, let's just say, from slavery in America, and right. there's this suffering that's going on, and I would say an unconscious suffering for for black people. You know what I'm saying? Not all of it is very conscious, but there's an unconscious suffering. So how would they get to the core of that?
Well, I think what we have to kind of, the one thing that I really appreciated about Laszlo's work, and he's actually, I've been in contact with him since I was developing the method.
Mm-hmm.
He's a wonderful man. You know, he essentially really points out that, you know, we're not just these individual holograms in our cosmos, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have is this collective experience. And so as we've gone through this Akashic field, research and looking at these various theories and what we think is going on,
mm-hmm.
we are seeing the collective experience of particular, you know, races,
mm-hmm.
who were, you know, who have been enslaved.
Right.
We see generational patterns that are carried through families.
Yeah.
And what's very interesting to me is that we're also finding that people are carrying the suffering of others.
Right.
Trauma of other people.
Yes. Okay.
Again, if we have a connection to somebody else who is going through a traumatic experience, that our association with that trauma of someone else actually gets recorded into our own individual sort of book of life, right? And so we're often acting and reacting and have fear and other things that limit us that are based on stuff that's not even ours.
Yes, that makes sense.
It does.
And I think that, you know, the reason I think that we've had such success with the method, I think it's a very clear method. I think it's very specific. You know, I think it's wonderful for people who it's like, I've whittled away at all this other stuff that I can get my hands on, but now I want to see something I don't see. Because we all have stuff that we don't see.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this is helping. It's like, for some reason, and this is not a judgment at all, but, you know, as humans, we want to know why something went down the way it did.
Mm-hmm.
To put it bluntly, you know, like, just tell me why.
Right.
Maybe I can accept that experience, but I need to know why.
Mm-hmm.
We're curious children, you know, we want to know why. And so, simply going back to, you know, kind of full circle to the question, I think that once we are consciously aware of what used to be subconscious, that we are carrying maybe the weight of something that happened to our own people,
mm-hmm.
or to other people,
mm-hmm.
we can begin to resolve or come to some type of balance where it's not hidden, where it's not driving limiting beliefs, where we can help just simply by becoming conscious of that, of understanding that as a people and peoples in this world, we are not separate.
Right.
Right. Very true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
that's true.
Within this whole, you know, cosmic experience that we're having, if on a daily basis we realize there's really no different, I mean, we have unique qualities as individual spirits, souls, you know, how we define the essence of who each mm-hmm. of us is, we also have this entirely synergistic collective experience going on. And I think at that level, even at that general level, you know, if people are listening going, you know, hey, you know, I kind of have these things going on. It's that level of self-awareness, I think, that is kind of required for us to take the next step, you know, to pull or manifest these future potentials that also exist within the Akashic field that may be hidden from our perception of our world because of traumatic experiences, collective experiences, and so forth.
That makes a lot of sense, which actually then also goes into the entire truth about as one heals, everyone heals. And just imagine if everyone did a little bit of healing on a daily basis, how quickly and exponentially that could all happen.
Absolutely. And, you know, some people out there call me an idealist, but mm-hmm. what I really, really, truly believe is that we don't have to necessarily, and I am an activist, you know, I think there are a lot of things out there certainly that I would like to do something about in my lifetime. But if I try to focus more on myself and see the suffering that's going on within myself and I liberate that, what I watch is quantum effect from the Akashic field begin to permeate anybody that comes in contact with me.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
And so if I begin here, you know, in my own lab,
mm-hmm.
and if people understand out there that it doesn't matter whether you smile at the person that's sacking your groceries, you know, we're putting, we're emanating our own energy into the world around us. So what we do, what our inner state is, what level of suffering we have, how much we're liberated, we don't have to do anything else except find our liberation, which is a unique path to all people. Because everything else simply shifts because it can't do anything but do that.
Right, exactly.
Because it's all interconnected, you know. But
right.
We have such
I call it a validation of the soul. That when each person validates their own self in terms of the soul and who they are as that aspect of consciousness in the spirit form, and you're also able to, if you validate that 100%, then you're able to expand that, if you will, and validate others. And again, the healing takes place because of the constant interconnection. I just think that this whole, the Akashic Field therapy is something that is so interesting, because the way that you're also able to utilize it in terms of the analogies of technology, which is something that we can all relate to today, and which in many ways also is technology in an external sense that's matching part of what you're discussing from an internal sense. You know what I'm saying?
Right, because, you know, I think that we see in our culture actually manifestations of technologies that give us clues as to the underlying framework of creation, because what we have is this need for information, and so the internet was born.
Mm-hmm.
What is underlying everything else is this quantum information superhighway. It's already there.
Yeah,
that we're able to access and read from, and we do that. Whether it's if we're conscious of it, obviously it's a much more direct, quantum, powerful experience. If we're unconscious of it, of course, then that can be the very muck and mire that we kind of get caught in when we're mm-hmm. trying to move forward, or we're trying to, you know, remove limitations, or as you stated, you know, fully embracing the totality of who we truly are at that
yeah.
spiritual level. The potential that's there, the potential to be creators, manifestors, healers, co-creators with others, you know. It's each of us has that ability to pull or manifest future potentials out of this quantum superhighway. And what we have to do is get out of our own way to do it. But what you've seen in this quantum effect over the last several decades, there's no accident that there's a huge spiritual awakening occurring all over the world of this, you know, a deeper level of self-awareness, and it's just rippling out. It's just getting, it's actually speeding up or accelerating. And if
like
you look
crazy.
Around, I mean, there's just so many examples of that going on in the world today.
Yeah,
and I think it all matters what you focus on is going on in the world today, because I think it's an amazing window of time for humanity right now.
In terms of being able to leap and grow in a way that is beyond all this suffering and beyond the suffering, and then also just the to me it just sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong about the Akashic Field therapy, it is healing at the same time misperceptions about people's realities as well. You know, like you get a chance to heal. We have a caller calling in too, but you get a chance to heal on so many different levels what is, I would say, misperceptions in terms of your belief systems about, say, the prosperity or the health or whatever. And so as a consciousness as a whole, we're getting the opportunity to, by you even being on the radio show and getting this information out there, that the everyday person will know that they can heal and shift and move themselves in phenomenal ways. I'll come back to my point because I got distracted because the person was calling in. Caller, are you on the air?
Yes. Hi, this is Rosie.
Hi, Rosie.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, because I'm on the right now, so... I had a quick question. Are you still taking calls?
Yes, we are.
Okay. It's about, well, Lynn knows a little bit about it, but she didn't really go into detail. It's about a guy. And a funny thing happened Saturday. His friend sent me a series of texts saying that he was really me, but he's really shy, and that, you know, what else did he say? That he really wants, he's just too shy to ask me out. So I want to see what you can pick up on that. And his friend is a jokester, so he could have been just joking around. I don't know. I don't know what to believe. So, can you pick up on anything about
Okay. Lynn? Hello?
Hello?
Okay, wait a minute. Let me see if I put every... Hold on for a minute. I'm sorry. I need you to call back. You know why? Because I think that instead of adding you to the call, I put them on hold. So I'm sorry. You need to call right back.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I hit the wrong button, everybody, so I just have to put that out there. Are you guys there? Lynn? Uh-oh. Hello?
Yes.
I am so sorry. I put you guys on hold. I hit the wrong button. I was like, now how come they're not responding? And I'm just talking away and asking CJ a question. And I said, we'll get back to that. And she didn't respond. I was like, okay. So.
It's okay. Technical difficulties. That's fine.
Okay. So we have a caller on the air. Go ahead, Rosie.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say. I said again.
Yeah, it's just ask your. You just have a question about whether or not some guy is interested in you or something. You said.
Yeah, because his friend sent me a series of text messages saying, "Oh, he's really into you, but he's shy, and you know he always talks about you. He's constantly saying that we are get along, but you know he's just trying to ask me out. He's my friend. I've known him for a few years." And, hang out with him, but I don't know if I should believe him or not because his friend is over. So I wanted to can let me know what's going on with that.
Okay, Lynn, did you pick up anything?
No. If CJ would like to start, that's fine.
Do you need to know anything to like more?
So you two, did you say that you two often...
Did I hear
often...
CJ? Is CJ on the line? CJ is not on the line. Hold on. Yeah. She's on the line? Okay. No, she's off. Hold on. I am so sorry. I don't know what I did.
It's okay. You're on the technology highway.
And I'm sitting here looking like, okay, CJ, I'm so sorry, girl. I disconnected you. I disconnected Lynn. I hit the wrong button. So, you know, that's why I shouldn't be sitting here listening so intently into what you're saying and then clicking on buttons, you know?
It's tricky.
Yes, it is. So, anyway, we have a caller that's interested in knowing whether or not someone is, she has a guy that is interested in her, and she's not sure if this person is playing a joke on her. Or if a mutual friend is playing a joke on her about the interest of this other man. If anybody has anything that they like to say about that.
Okay, can you say the name of the person that has the interest in you, caller? Just first name.
His name is Christian. Lynn, I did ask you a little bit about him maybe like a month ago. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, who is this?
Rosie.
Got into a fight.
Oh, okay. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Lynn?
I'm fine. You know what? I think then that maybe CJ, if you would like to answer that would be better since we had already talked about it, Rosie.
Well, yeah, but something new happened to where his friend had a series of text messages on Saturday saying that he's really into me, but he was just really shy, and he always talks about how we're, like, so compatible, people, but I don't know if his friend is, like, just joking about it or not. I just wanted to see if he really is interested in me or if his friend is just being with me, because his friend is like a jokester. So.
Okay, well, Stacy, are you getting anything?
Actually, I wasn't. Except for I wasn't really feeling his energy in your space, and to me that represents that it's not what it appears to be. You know, it's possible that it is a joke, but I'm not feeling this person like in your field. Okay, so that's my interpretation on that. You know, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I don't get that, though. I can't speak now. I don't get, though, that it was a joke, necessarily, that he's just messing with your head. I don't believe that it's that. But as Stacy said, I'm not seeing a lot of energy around you from this guy that he's talking about. And so I think it's more about trying to find a way for you two to connect and be in the middle of that. Okay?
Okay.
Hi, CJ. Welcome back.
Yes, welcome back.
Hi.
I don't know what happened again. All I noticed is that you weren't on the line. So now we have you back.
Where were we, ladies?
Okay, so there's a caller, and she's working through some issues in terms of relationships, and I didn't know if you had anything that you would like to say to her about having a relationship or anything in terms of your work of how she could shift some energy to open herself up to a relationship. She was asking about somebody in particular that Lynn and I both didn't see as being the person or whatever, but I don't know what you think about that. If you think anything.
Okay. So she's in a relationship now.
No, she's not. This is a friendship, and she's trying to see if this friendship is a love interest.
Yeah, his friend sent me a text message and a series of text messages on Saturday saying that he's really into me and that he's just really shy, and then he always talks about how compatible we are, but he's just a friend at this point. So I want to see if, like, his friend was lying about it, playing a joke or whatever.
Or I actually think that what's being said is genuine, but I have some caution here because I'm going to have to confer with the ladies, I think, in regard to this situation, because there's a whole lot of other things going on around it.
Okay.
that you aren't aware of, that are going to really dramatically affect your life and where I see you on your path right now. And I think that, you know, in this particular situation, just kind of reading the Akashic Field and where you're at on your path and what you're moving into in 2010, I do see a significant relationship for you, you know, coming up next year. But there's some things that just definitely, you know, that you kind of need to wrap up in your, you know, with where you're at and being very clear about what it is that you deserve.
Okay.
And so taking a little more time to define what you want, what's best for you, will allow you to really kind of get out of the way and manifest that without sort of getting hooked into all of this other drama and all of these other situations that often kind of pull you off the path. Even though I think you're doing great work and you're forging ahead in your life to be happier, to be healthier, I see that, you know, you got to be very careful of other people's drama.
Okay, because do you see a lot of drama around it, this guy or something?
I do. There are other things that are going on with a number of things in his life right now that make him not a very good suitable person to hook up with you right now.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
So it's not that he doesn't like me. He's just not a suitable choice right now because of what's going on in his life.
Exactly. I don't see a deception there in all of this. I see him being somewhat sincere about the just shy, but the just shy sort of covers up that he's got a lot of baggage he needs to take care of.
Oh, okay.
And and you don't need to be the one to get that leverage onto. Do you see what I mean? you don't want to go there because I think, you know, I think ultimately that you would get hurt, and then he constantly changed his mind about things, and you don't need that because you don't deserve that.
Okay.
All right. Alrighty. Thanks, Rosie.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay, take care. Happy holidays.
Okay.
Bye. Okay, bye-bye. CJ, we have about 5 more minutes in the show, and I wanted you to be able to give out your information to the listeners.
Oh, absolutely. My website is cjmartes.com, which is cjmartes.com. I'm also on Facebook. And I wanted to make mention to all the listeners out there that I have a wonderful affirmation that helps working on that overall belief in suffering. So if anybody emails me and wants that affirmation for free because they heard me on the show, I'd be glad to send it to them and tell them how to work with it. But that whole just, you'd be surprised just working on that, just releasing that belief in that inherent suffering at an Akashic Field level, the works wonders to open up all kinds of possibilities. So I wanted to offer that to everybody as well.
That sounds excellent. So they just contact you at www.cjmartes.com, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yep. That sounds excellent. This
it
is
does.
Very interesting
Thank
work,
you.
CJ. And I had, like I said, all this stuff that you didn't hear because I clicked the wrong button when I let the caller in, and now I didn't even know what my point was, you know?
Well, anymore, I just go with the flow. You guys are wonderful, so I appreciate you having me on the show.
Thank
well,
you.
Well, thank
you.
You.
You
we
too.
Appreciate having you on the show. This has been absolutely wonderful and very enlightening, and we will have you on again.
That would be great.
No doubt about it.
All right. You have a fabulous holiday. Low key, high key, whatever key you'd like. Have a very, what is it, Merry Christmas, Hanukkah,
Kwanzaa. Just happy holidays,
New Year.
All right? Right.
Yes. All right. Bye-bye, CJ. Thanks
right.
a lot.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right.
Oh,
bye-bye.
My God. Me and technology girl always pushing buttons and stuff, you know?
You know what? I think we're going to keep you away from all buttons.
I'm serious. And then poor Rosie, she and I were on there, and I said, okay, Lynn, and then when I didn't hear you, she said the same thing 3 times because... Because I pushed the wrong buttons. That's just, it's funny. Okay. So, oh, have mercy. Anyway, so yeah, that's some really, really powerful information in terms of being able to heal traumatic life experiences and across the ages, I guess, if you will, makes a lot of sense, you know? So, Lan, are you there? Okay, so you know what, everybody? I'm going to wrap up this show for the last 2 minutes because...
You lost me.
Okay, because I'm sitting here like, seriously? This is, you know what? Then it's not necessarily just me, it's Skype. Because, yeah. Anyway, so I was just going to wrap up the show and tell, you know, talking to people about, you know, being able to really go forward into this new year with a new... lease on life, basically, you know, and although we are going into a retrograde period, we should also take the time to do some inner reflection in order to be able to spring forward into the new year and step into the new vibration. So with that being said, Lynn, did I lose you again? And I did.
Can you hear me?
Okay, I can hear you now.
So, okay, great.
And just in,
all right.
I was just encouraging.
I absolutely agree with that. We're going to be stepping into a whole new vibration, and seeing as how next week will be the last week before the new year, I think that's part of what we're going to dedicate our show to.
I think so too. That sounds awesome.
All right.
So, until next week, everybody. Speak your truth from a place of what? What's the opposite of suffering? From a place of
place of joy.
A place of joy and peace, right?
So, yes, absolutely.
Until next week, darlings.
Be at peace. Stay in joy. And always love.
Spiritually Speaking invites you into the world of two incredible intuitive readers and healers. Stacy Marsh and Lynn Herod DeVerges bring an innovative look at spirituality while providing guidance and support to those who come across their path. The abundance of gifts shared between them is phenomenal, and you can experience just how wonderful they are by scheduling a dual one-hour reading with healing or any of the other spiritual services they offer by going to www.2spirituallyspeakinglive.com. That's www.2spirituallyspeakinglive.com. Don't hesitate to visit the website or call 310-495-0644. That's 310-495-0644 to book your appointment today.
Spiritually Speaking Live with Stacy and Lynn on LA Talk Radio.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.